Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Let's do it. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. We've got a jam show today.
Jam packed.
Got a lot to get to.
Jam.
It's jam.
Not jelly, but
jam.
Yeah.
We got some jam today.
Yeah.
We're going to get to all of it. right off the top, though, before we get to Cam Akers and what a serious loss that is for the Rams. Reports, don't know if you've seen them, that the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee still has not ruled out last-minute cancellation of the Olympics. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They still have not ruled out a last-minute cancellation of the Olympics. Here's what's going on. South Africa is supposed to play soccer, I think, against Japan. South Africa may not have 11 players with COVID. Mexico's baseball team, they left some people back at the hotel, didn't even travel. COVID. We've heard about the United States athletes testing positive. Samuelson, the 3-on-3 basketball player, was heartbroken. She was vaccinated and tested positive. So she's out of the games. Could they really? And what they're saying, Rodney, is we're going to keep an eye on it. So what does that mean? It's a battle of attrition here. If there just aren't enough people to go, they're going to cancel it? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, and what are the stakes and what has to happen for them to actually cancel it? Because as you've said and stated over and over again, Fred, it's too far gone now. There's so much money involved. There's so much to lose that they can't cancel it now. And yet we hear a report that there's still a possibility. And they're starting, what, opening ceremonies are what, Thursday or Friday, whenever they are this week?
The opening ceremony's Friday. They get started with
early
competition tomorrow.
Right. So when is that going to happen? And if it does, you know, what is going to determine that? And why would they say it? Instead of just, okay, it's going to be canceled. Why are they preparing people just in case? I mean, what to me it would be, okay, we're going until we cancel it. And if it gets canceled, that's when you'll find out it's canceled.
Yeah, and we'll go and go and go. So as long as we go, that's how much money our television rights holders have to pay us.
But why would they throw it out there like that? Well, it still could be canceled.
Because now they're concerned. I mean, look, they think there are holes in the Olympic bubble.
Yeah.
In the Olympic Village. They think there are some challenges now that they weren't quite sure of. Sponsors, we told you Toyota pulled out. Panasonic has pulled out. Fuji has pulled out.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty big deal. I mean.
Do you think that they see as athletes are starting to trickle in, to going, oh, this could be even more of a, and people in general probably, but this could be more of a problem than we anticipated.
Look at us here in the United States. Okay, look at California. Some people vaccinated, some people not. All right, well, now we're seeing a little bump again. This new variant is causing a problem. Well, we're seeing a little bump, a little spike. Got to wear our masks indoors here. We don't know what the mandates and the protocols were in South Africa. We have no idea. In Kuwait, who knows? We don't know what was going on there. No one really knows. So you have all these people coming into one place from all over the world that have handled this very differently. Some places have been more controlled. Some places have been more out of control. But here comes everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be tested. And we know that you can be vaccinated and positive. We know you can be asymptomatic, but have it. We know all of this. And if one person has it there, then they've got to do contact tracing and start quarantining everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're looking at this going, this is a real S show.
Yeah.
We got problems.
Problems, because it's such a wide spectrum of how it affects people as well, right? Some people get it. Oh, I just had a little, my taste buds were down for a minute. I was a little groggy. I'm okay. And then some people are down. I mean, down for the count. And obviously, we've seen people die. But the unknown with this is the scary part, I guess, for them. But again, I go back to, why are you alarming people before it actually happens? I mean, if you have to cancel it at some point, then that should be the news conference. We are canceling the Olympics. Instead of saying, well, we still may cancel it. We still may do it. And this is going to be an ongoing thing. Like next week on Monday, they're going to have it, or next Tuesday, another report. We're still not ruling out canceling the rest of the Olympics. We don't want to hear that. Just go ahead, and if you have to cancel it, cancel it.
Well, you know, they know more than we know. You know, mm-hmm. In any situation like this, the people in charge know well more than what they're saying. And they're probably looking at projections right now and starting to think, we may have a real problem. I mean, we're going, we're doing it. You're not going to stop us. Oh, God. Now when we really start to look at this and people start to come together, we can see, and our experts tell us, this may be a real problem. And the other side of it is like this. You know, we know that people in Japan don't want this. That's abundantly clear. We know how people in the state of California feel about COVID. Around other parts of the country, they look at it very differently. If you had traveled during the pandemic, in some states, you were told to protect yourself. In other states, there was no pandemic. It was like, live your life, anything goes. Just think now of perception around the world. Japan doesn't want it. Okay, they have been vocal. Athletes start to test positive. It doesn't matter where you live or how you have seen this all along. When you have an entire country that is the focus of the world saying, we don't want the games because of COVID, and athletes start testing positive, wherever you're at in the world, you're going to start saying, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
They should have never done that, right? No matter how you feel, no matter if you believe it was real or fake, no matter if you believe you should wear a mask or never wear a mask, it begins a groundswell. You know, it's like snow coming down the hill, and all of a sudden you look up and it's an avalanche.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying it. I think they know more than they're telling us.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that 100%. And then on top of that, how many legal waivers do you think that they had to get signed and different types that they had to get signed from the athletes or anybody attending? They have to be scared to death about, okay, I'm coming over here. And of course you go over there with your, you know, by your own will, you're agreeing to go over there and be a part of it. But still, you know, also a part of it is I expect to be in a controlled, safe environment as well. And if there's a lapse in the safety, then that opens up to certain lawsuits. So I'm sure those athletes and whoever's working over the coaches and trainers and all those people probably had to sign a series and a whole bunch of waivers, waiving their liability and against the Olympic Committee, the state, the country, the city, all those things as they go forward. It's turned into a humongous distraction, I think, for all the athletes going.
So we will keep an eye on that, but we wanted to let you know off the top that was the announcement today. We will get to the Dodgers. Yep, that was bad last night. No two ways about it. Are the Giants real? By the way, did you see the shot of Gabe Kapler in the dugout? Rodney, did you see him?
Which shot?
Just a shot of Gabe Kapler.
I saw a shot of him.
Very good. And he's got these giant black glasses.
Yes.
I don't know when he started to wear them. I'd like to know who the guy was who was standing right next to him wearing the identical glasses. Do they go to the same optometrist?
The package deal, Fred.
Right. Did they go to Costco and you could buy,
team issued.
20 pairs of these frames for the same money?
It's team issued, Fred. Yeah.
I thought that is the most bizarre thing I've ever
Why?
Seen.
Why? You don't think guys can wear the same glasses?
First, they were gigantic. They were huge frames.
Have you seen the sunset at Dodger Stadium during that time, Fred? You need glasses like that.
But they weren't sunglasses.
They were stylish.
Oh, they were stylish.
Yeah.
But the guy standing right next to him wearing the identical pair of
Two
glasses.
Two for one deal.
It had to be. And very weird.
Why is that weird?
It was bizarre. The two of them standing there wearing the exact same frame.
They're in a athletic environment where everybody's wearing uniforms, and you're thinking it's weird that the two coaches have the same sunglasses on. That's not weird.
They weren't sunglasses. They were glasses, not for the sun. They were glasses.
Were they dark?
No.
Were they glasses?
Yes.
Were they prescription glasses?
I think so.
You think so?
I do. I think they were prescription glasses.
I think they changed with the sunlight.
They may.
Yeah.
It was it's not like they were wearing Oakleys. I don't know where they were going.
Why are you so fascinated by that, them wearing same glasses? They're on a team. It's like, are you going to say that same? Why? They wore the same shoes.
You don't. If you and I, okay, look at it like this.
It could be team issues.
Oh, Kevin, you jump in here. Now, granted, today I'm wearing
black. Trying to bring Kevin in here to validate your story.
No, I don't want him to validate. I just want to hear what you think, Kevin.
Sure, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, what's up?
Okay, thank you.
Are those that blue tin at the bottom?
Yeah, see.
They got a little blue tin in it.
And I also have a Sally, Jesse, Raphael story for you.
Oh, of course you do. Okay, anyway, I want to hear that.
All right, so if Rodney and I walked in here and sat out. Now, granted, today I don't have my regular glasses because I couldn't find them this morning. So I put these on, and some suggest they're women's glasses.
Why don't you just stop by CVS on the way to the studio, Fred, and pick up another pair?
I would have done that. I didn't have time. So I've got these glasses on. You may consider them stylish. Others say they're women's glasses. Doesn't matter.
No, what's the fact, though?
They're probably women's glasses.
Probably?
They might be.
You just told them you got them for your wife.
No, I didn't. I got them from a friend. I'll just say that. A friend gave these.
Yeah, we don't want to get anybody in trouble.
No, right. I got them from a friend.
Yeah, let's keep
but
it.
My point is, if Rodney and I walked in here and sat out and we're wearing the identical reading glasses with the identical frames, they're identical, and they're very prominent, would you not think that's a bit odd that the two of us would be wearing these very recognizable, big frame, identical glasses. Identical.
I think it would be interesting, but I don't know if it's something I would harp on. I don't think it's the biggest deal.
If you saw Fred and I out at dinner or some event separately with those glasses on, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. Fred and Rodney got the same. But if you're wearing here, right, the first assumption I think I would have. See, I'm saying flipping it's Kevin and you come in.
Is there
first,
radio glasses?
Yeah, these are something that iHeart put out or iHeart gave, and I would go, where's mine?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Clipper chair thing all over again with Fred.
Exactly. Where's my glasses? That would be my first thought.
He was like, I have LASIK. I don't even wear glasses anymore. Now, I still want them.
Yeah, exactly. If I saw Kevin and at Morton's downstairs, and then later I saw you somewhere else at Bob's Big Boy, then wearing the same exact glasses. I was like, wow, that's weird that Kevin had the same glasses. I just saw him 2 minutes ago, and Fred's got them at Bob's Big Boy.
He's got By the way, Rod, I find it funny that you placed me at Morton's and Fred at Bob's.
Yeah, I had to flip that script a little bit just for the effect of the story.
I'm probably down there washing dishes. That's all business.
I
got
You prefer Bob's Big Boy over Morton's.
But I wouldn't think two things about it. No.
Unless you guys were separate. But if you're wearing the same uniform, you're in the same environment, same building, same company, and the glasses, I was like, where's mine?
Yeah. They could both have readers, and they could be the exact same pair of readers.
Yes.
If anybody saw that last night, I assure you, if you saw those shots last night, you would say that was very bizarre. I'm just telling you. If our listeners saw it last night.
They were stylish, though. I will say that.
They were stylish.
Yeah.
I might get some myself. They were after I take off the women's glasses. But if our listeners saw that last night, I am telling you, they would agree with me. It is very bizarre. We're not going to open the phone lines now. But I'm telling you, if you saw that, you thought it was really weird.
Would you say the same thing if they had the same watch on?
What kind of watch? Now, if it's like an Apple Watch or something, no.
All right, but do you know what kind of glasses those were?
Well, they were pretty stylish. I mean, I might get some.
Do you know what kind of glasses? Like, you could say, oh.
No, I didn't know.
Those are Cartier glasses.
Were they?
Those are Tom Ford's. I mean, could you pick them out that you say, oh, those are those?
No, I'm not an expert on frames.
Okay, so why did you say the difference of a watch? What kind of watch? What if it's just the same watch?
Because that's not as prominent as the glasses. If you and I were walking down the street right now wearing the exact same pair of glasses, people would think that's weird. I'm telling you.
They might be blue blockers, Fred.
That's right.
But they wouldn't look exactly.
They wouldn't think it's. They would maybe think it's weird, but if we're in here, you and I are wearing the same glasses in our work environment, they would say, oh, that's an iHeart thing. That's something to go.
Could be a show sponsor thing. And for them, like I said, they could have bought a bunch of readers. Say, who needs them? Here you go. That's not that bizarre to me, Fred.
Or there's a box, like batting gloves or whatever. There's a box of these glasses if you guys need them today because it's sunset at Dodger Stadium and it's, maybe a little sharp on your eyes. So we, you know, you might need some readers today.
And the blue blockers are meant to block out glare and light, Fred.
Right.
And they're sitting on the opposite side of the field where the sun sets.
Correct.
So the sun would be directly in their eyes. So I think
Correct.
That would help them, right?
Sensitivity. Here they are. Here's the box, along with the chewing gum, along with the
seeds.
The seeds. And yeah. It used to be tobacco and all those things. Right there in those boxes, there's a pair of these glasses. Pick them up if you want.
Would you wear the glasses I'm wearing today?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. That's my point. And that was my point. Exactly. You know what? Eric Dickerson is running around here, so we'll bring him on in a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah. ED.
Cam Akers is out for the year. He suffered an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Bad for him. Really bad for the Rams.
Yeah. Bad. Really bad for both of them. You know, Cam Akers was a guy that burst on the scene. I think he, you know, obviously had a really good college career, and the anticipation of him kind of coming into his own. They got, you know, they sent Todd Gurley away because they felt like they had a guy in Cam Akers that could fill that role, and he certainly, you know, delivered for them last year, and the anticipation for this year was very, very high. I think a quality back that everybody felt that was going to take it to the next level. And it's just unfortunate that he had an injury like this with the Achilles, because, you know, as we talked about several times, Fred, I've had them. I had both of mine done, and it's not a fun injury to come back from. But he's still young, but just a devastating blow to him and the Rams.
You know, you mentioned Todd Gurley. Yeah. So you think, okay, Cam Akers is gone. What about bringing Todd Gurley back? What about taking a flyer, bringing him back? We know what he did. We know what happened. Is that something you would consider? I have some thoughts on this, but would you consider bringing Todd Gurley back?
I would consider it. You know, first of all, though, you don't know what kind of relationship they have still.
That ended poorly.
It didn't end well, exactly.
Yeah.
So you wonder, you know, what kind of trust or what kind of relationship he has with Sean McVay. I would go on, not even going out on a limb, but I don't think that they have weekly calls together. And then, you know, what kind of relationship does Todd have with the organization as well? But in terms of just pure football, yeah, I would bring him back. I would. I think he has got, still have a lot of things left to prove. I think he's still got something left in the tank. And, you know, he's a fill-in guy now, and wouldn't be asked to kind of, even though he would have a substantial role because Cam's not there, but they still have some quality running backs on the rosters. So, you know, he wouldn't be, and I don't think anybody would expect him to be the Todd Gurley of 2016 or 17 when he was on his way to win the MVP that Super Bowl year. So, yeah, why not? Why not, Fred? You think otherwise?
Rodney, correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
And you will, even if I'm right, you'll correct me. So we know that.
Yeah.
Okay, and Kevin, you'll certainly not be afraid to jump in. Doesn't Todd Gurley, and it's no fault of Todd Gurley's, doesn't he have arthritis? He has an arthritic knee. If he has an arthritic knee, you can't sign him. That you can't cure that. And if you have it, and some people I know do.
Is he able to play? Did he play last year?
About 700 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns for the Falcons last year.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Like I said, he's probably not. He's not going to be the Todd Gurley of old, you know. And but can he give you? Can he give you that? You know, can he give you 700 to 900 yards? I think he still can.
And he's not going to ask for much money. He's still on the street right now with the camp starting next week. So I mean,
the guy that can play every down. He can catch the ball. You know, he's familiar with the system and familiar with everything here. Why not?
If he's on the street
at the last minute,
why is he on the street? If that's what he gave you last year?
It's a good question.
Because maybe he has arthritis in his knee.
He had arthritis last year, and we're saying that he was not great, but he was effective.
But what I'm saying is maybe it got worse. I mean, I'm not trying
Maybe they've just decided to go in a different direction with a new coach and the whole deal in Atlanta.
But he's available. Here's all I'm saying. And again, it's no fault of his own. And if you've dealt with it, you know what it is. If he has an arthritic knee, you don't know how effective he can be. Last year, we have his numbers. All right, and that was maybe a fantastic year for someone who was dealing with what he's dealing with.
Yeah, but you're
not
asking him to come back and be Todd Gurley again of 2016-17.
And it doesn't cost you anything. Like, yeah. If you sign him to camp and he's not playing well and not moving well, boom. You can cut him loose. And yeah. It doesn't cost you anything or cost you very little. There's a few downsides. It doesn't cost you much to bring him in and give him a look. Give him a workout, Fred. Yeah. You can bring him in and give him a workout and see what he looks like.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Because it's pain management with arthritis.
Yeah.
There's no way to fix it. It's pain management. And how much pain can he endure? And how available could he be given that amount of pain? You're saying take a flyer on him.
Right. What does it hurt to take a flyer on him?
Yeah, it's not like you have to pick up his $20 million contract that he's owed. He said he's free, and you could get him for cheap and bring him in. And because right now, training camp is right here. And so you don't have the luxury of it being March or April where you can have mini camps and bring somebody in to kind of learn and go through the system. You got a guy that's been in this system before. This is not going to take away a whole lot of reps from other people. Can go and play tomorrow with his knowledge of the system. So to me, it would be a good ad for the Rams.
Assuming they do not sign him because the Rams came out and said our roster's our roster.
Yeah, Sean McVay said that a few minutes ago. Yeah, he says as of now, we're not looking at to go to a veteran route. We might, but as of now, we're not.
And certainly they do have some guys that can run the ball.
Yeah.
There's no arguing that. But how much of a loss is it to lose a guy like Cam Akers, who really could have been one of the premier backs in the league?
Yeah, no doubt.
And Eric always says, I'm sure he'll say it when we talk to him in a minute, you got to run the ball to set everything else up. You played quarterback. You know that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Rams are at their best when that running game is good. And when they do have a featured back in the backfield, that's what made him exciting is that they had Todd Gurley in the backfield that could not only run the ball but also catch it out of the backfield. And so it's a big part of Sean McVay's offense. And so, yeah, it's a big blow to lose him because, again, he was on the verge of really breaking out this year.
Ned Coletti will be here during the 1 o'clock hour. We're getting to the Dodgers. And Eric Dickerson is running around here right now. Let's bring him on next and talk about Cam Akers.
Sports.
Yeah, Fred. We coming back with you, Freddie, on a Tuesday. On a Taco Tuesday, Fred. I know you'll wait for this.
Oh, yeah. I wait for it. You know I do.
Yeah, you do.
You know Kevin just told me?
What?
You know, Milwaukee and Phoenix tonight. Phoenix trying to stay alive. You check the officials, who's been assigned to the game?
Yeah, I saw that. You think Chris Paul's happy?
Scott Foster. Yeah. And what is it? Chris Paul's not won a game?
0-12.
Been a long time. And then in game 7 in the bubble last year when Chris was with Oklahoma City, Scott actually walked up to him and told him, remember what happened the last time I officiated game 7 you were in? They lost that one too, by the way.
He said it to him.
He said it to him.
Yeah, I think it's 0-12. He is 0-11, 0-12. That just, it's weird. Especially if, it's weird because Scott Foster has that reputation, not just with Chris Paul, but with others too. He has that reputation of not being like a player favorite ref. And so the fact that it's known that he's 0-11, 0-12 while he refs.
And the fact that he had multiple phone calls with Tim Donaghy.
Oh, yeah. Went to the league about it.
Yeah, random calls in the tunnel before and after games for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 1.5 minutes at a time. Yet he's still officiating, so there you go. Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that? When I saw the Clippers play the Suns in Phoenix, Scott Foster worked one of those games, and I think I pointed it out, Rodney. I'd never seen this before. During timeouts, so, you know, at home, you're watching commercials. If you're in the arena, you can see what's going on. Those players and coaches came up to Scott Foster during breaks, and he talked to every one of them for as long as they wanted to talk, and I'd never seen that before. Normally, they go stand at center court with their arms folded, their hands on their hips. And he talked to every single player or coach. They had a problem. He listened. He responded. So I know he's got this rap that, you know, you don't want to see him show up. I also know this. They consider him one of the top two officials in the game, Scott Foster and Mark Davis. I don't know if Mark Davis is working the game tonight. But if he doesn't work tonight and there's a game 6, number 8, I'll bet you he works that one. So in big games, there are only a couple of guys you always expect to see. Yeah. And Scott Foster is one of them. Although I think it is a bit odd that he walked up to Chris Paul in game seven. Said, you remember the last time, don't you?
Very, very odd.
I don't think I would.
And very unprofessional.
Yeah, it's horrible. How can the league assign him to the game if he actually said that?
Yeah.
Why would you ever put him in that situation? But, oh, look who's here. Okay. You know, the Rams lost Cam Akers. We told you Eric Dickerson is walking around here. So, Eric, we appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us.
No problem, Fred. I just happened to be driving by and thought I'd just jump in here for a minute.
Kind of guy you are.
That's what just I'm like saying. I am. I'm a
Come
team
see
player.
Your boys, man. I'm
a team player. But I got to say one thing.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, Fred over here looking like Al Pacino with his goatee. You know, he's ready to be, I got a deal for you. I kind of like that look, Fred.
You like it?
I like it. I got to say I like it.
You know, I needed some cred. I needed street cred, Eric. I was too soft. Now I'm not soft anymore.
Don't
go crazy.
He was a little shy. When he came back in with that goatee. Now he got some compliments from people online. He's wearing it with confidence now.
Them glasses he got on though. I liked them for a minute till he told me it was his wife's glasses.
No, I guess what happened. I couldn't find my glasses this morning. I had to leave early. I grabbed these. These are women's glasses.
They look good on you. I cannot tell a lie. They look good on you.
Oh, man. All right, Eric, so we got up this morning and we got this alert. Cam Akers has an Achilles. He's done. How devastating is that?
Oh, my gosh. Very devastating. I just did the commercial with Cam. Such a nice young man. Really is. I was looking forward to watching him play this year. Only thing, the upside is that, you know, he has a year to kind of rest and sit out and his body won't get beat up. And hopefully that'll extend his career a little bit longer. But for the team, you know, it kind of hurts the team, but because I think they had high hopes also. So did I. But you know, football is you got to go. You know, just keep moving forward.
Yeah, Eric, and we talked about this often when it comes to the way the game is played now, but in particular the Rams. When the Rams are successful, and when they went to the Super Bowl, and when they've been really good, it's because they've been balanced, because they've relied on the running game. The running game started with Todd Gurley when he had his run before he got hurt. They were the best offensive football because it went through the running game first. And it felt as Cam, as he became that guy last year, he was ready to take that next step this year to be that elite running back. And now he gets this setback. What do you think is going to do for him and his psyche and then the approach that the Rams are going to have to take this year?
Well, first of all, I know he's going to be depressed behind it. I mean, even when you're out of football from an injury, or even when you retire, sometimes you get depressed. But when you're out of football and you're sitting there watching, it's like, man, I know I could do this. Man, I wish I could be out there. But after a while, you get over it. You have to get over that part and just get ready for the next year. And that's all you can do. I mean, I know he had high hopes because everybody was focusing in on how, you know, great he possibly could be. You know, the kind of player he had became at the end of last year and how, you know, the teams were starting to focus in on him. But the football team itself, you know, and you're right, Rodney, you know, I think the Rams are most successful. And I think all football teams are most successful when they can run and throw the football. You know, you have that double-edged sword. And the Rams, for sure, when they had Todd Gurley at his best and Jared Goff was playing well, and I think Todd made Jared a better player. He really did. Yeah. And vice versa. But I for sure that running game made him a better player. And as good as our quarterback, what's his name?
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford is, and I like Matthew Stafford. He's tough. He knows football. He can read defenses. But still, he'll need that help. And hopefully with the young running backs we have, you know, Darrell Henderson, and we got a young kid out of SMU. I can't think of his last name. Xavier is his first name. Then we have four backs. Maybe they'll find one guy in there, you know, that can really carry the load, because you're going to have a running game. You're going to have that to work. I mean, I don't care how great the quarterback is, but I just feel like with Matt Stafford, his first year here, it would really help him a lot to have a running game.
Yeah, and when you look at it, he needs a running game. You both have been proponents. Run the ball first. Eric, you've said it forever.
Yeah.
So from Cam Akers' perspective, your heart goes out to the guy, but you make a valid point. He's young. Gives him a chance not to have the wear and tear on his body. You mentioned these other guys for the Rams. Can they win? Can they win this thing without an effective back like a Cam Akers? I mean, it's kind of, I read that they're not going to do anything. This is our roster and we're going with it.
Yeah.
Can you find that jewel in the rough and hopefully he becomes as good? Is that a bit ambitious?
No, I don't think it's ambitious. I mean, Darrell Henderson showed that he can play. I mean, he really can. you know, the other young guys, you have to find out, and hopefully he can stay healthy. The thing is, in playing that position is health. Can you stay healthy? And, you know, and then how effective you are, you know. And if you have a quarterback like a Matt Stafford, they can't play on the line of scrimmage. You have to back up. You can't play the run solely. And so if they become effective running the football, and I say have that double-edged sword, it makes it tough on defenses. So I think when I talked to Sean McVay early this year at the stadium, he said that this is one of the best football teams that he's had. He's really pleased with the football team. So I think he's excited about it, and I think it's going to be an exciting year, hopefully. But, you know, Rodney, I always say this. You know, injuries are a big factor in football. Mm-hmm. They are a big factor. I don't care how good you are, you know, what players you have, but if they're not on the field, you know, if you can't make the club in the tub, you hurt, it's hard to be, you know, 100%. So we'll see how it goes. You know, and football hasn't started yet, but the sad thing is we'll be without Cam for the whole year.
Yeah, and you know that going in, so you can start to prepare for it before training camp actually, you know, gets fully underway in preseason. The one thing that made Todd so good and guys like you, Eric, when you play, is that you weren't just playing on first and second down. You played all three downs, right? And so that was the key to it. And how much is that going to affect Sean McVay's play calling? Because when he's gotten in trouble, and we talked about this often too, when he got in trouble, sometimes that he'd go away from the run and get pass happy, you know, and then put all the pressure on Jared Goff in the passing game and go away from the run. Is that going to give him an excuse now to say, okay, now we got to throw it 50 times a game because we don't have our number one running back?
I don't think so. I think you know, even with Matt Stafford, you know, if we had to throw it a lot, I have more confidence in him. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a seasoned quarterback. He's been there. You know, he's played on some bad teams, and he's made it happen. So he knows, you know, the game of football. I mean, he knows how to read defenses very quickly. Like, you know, some quarterbacks, you can disguise it and they can't see it.
Right.
Matt Stafford will see it right away. You know, he's like a Aaron Rodgers, you know. He's like a Tom Brady. He's that guy. But, you know, you really want to compliment him with the running game. And, you know, and think about it. Darrell Henderson has been here. This is not going to be his first year. So he's a seasoned back also. Even though he hasn't played a full season, he knows the offense. He knows the team. The team knows him. So that makes it that much better.
All right, so are you cool with the new uniforms?
I like the jerseys are better. I mean, they're better than what we have. You know, them helmets, man, them helmets are ugly. I just got to call it like I see. They got them two bananas. That's not a Ram.
Two bananas.
That's not a Ram. That's two bananas. I mean, one day they'll go back to being a Ram. And I believe this year that the fans will be happy. Listen to your fans. That's all I say. If the fans like the bananas, I love the bananas. That's all I got to say.
See, you're living in the past.
I'm not living in the past, Fred.
Yeah, you are.
Okay,
yeah, you are.
Okay, okay.
You know why?
Okay.
They updated the horns.
But this is how you know they
Fred, let me ask you. Has Rams updated since the beginning of history? Do you see that? Do you see the horns broken up? When you see them horns
on a real Ram?
Yes.
No.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Have the Steelers
Unless
updated?
They've been attacked by a lion.
Have the Steelers updated? No. Have the Cowboys updated? No. Has the Raiders updated? No. That's like putting a Raider patch on the other eye. The fans will go crazy.
But doesn't that tell you that they, you know, maybe they didn't get it right the first time.
They got it right.
Because they changed it already.
They know the first one. Okay, right. This ain't working because you know what comes down? This ain't selling. Ain't nobody buying this crap. You know, I just don't get it, man. And I'm going to say it again. Why didn't we go right here to some of these great artists here in Los Angeles, California, put it out to them, let them do the uniforms, work with whoever the guys, the clowns from whoever they had, them other guys were, the surfer dudes, let them work together, but let it be an L.A. thing. Let it be L.A. And that would have been like, we'll give whoever the winner is, you'll get season tickets for life or $25,000.
Yeah.
I don't get nobody's money out. Let's say season tickets for life. You know how big that would have been.
Right. You involve everybody.
You involve everybody. You know, y'all help us pick our uniforms. Instead, we got some bozos that ain't never played football, don't know how to put a football uniform on, pick up these bananas, you know. Man, you know, anyway, I love my team. I don't want us to be laughed at. That's the thing. I mean, our uniforms are iconic. Guys, I'll tell you this here. Guys who didn't even play for the Rams, they said, man, when I saw that uniform from a distance, I said, oh, that's the Rams. You know. I mean, anyway. You know, hey, the line, they ain't put a kitten on the lion's helmet. Meow. And they've been bad for years.
That's something they should have changed.
Yeah, that's one they should have probably changed.
Oh, man. Eric, thanks for hanging. We appreciate it.
Hey, man. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's always good. Thanks again, Eric. ED stops by. We like that.
We love that. Love that. Our man.
All right, next hour, Ned Colletti will jump by. We'll try to figure out what happened to the Dodgers last night and how they're going to right that ship tonight.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Yeah, yeah. Holy smokes, I got my money up. Cash. Counting all these bands took me a while just to damn run it up.
Okay, let's go. Today's Afternoon Delight is Holy Smokes by Trippie Redd. The 22-year-old Ohio native dropped this single late last week as he gets set to release his next album entitled Trip at Night. The upcoming album is set to feature such artists as Tyga, Lil Durk, and Offset. In this track, he collaborates with his friend Lil Uzi Vert, who he says is one of the great young OGs that I really admire. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Holy Smokes by Trippie Redd featuring Lil Uzi Vert.
All right. And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob Amrani.
Okay, time for our weekly visit with our good friend Jacob Amrani. Jacob, how are you today?
Hey, Fred, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you. So, I think you're at a place where I spent many summers a few years back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're in Vegas at an AAU tournament with your kids, right?
Exactly. That's why my voice is a little hoarse, because we got a game going on right now, and I'm the one who's screaming. I can't get these refs to get their hands off, so, you know.
Isn't that the beauty of it? I mean, that Vegas tournament, summer basketball in Vegas, got to be incredible, got to be enjoy. I do remember those days. I didn't do the basketball route, but I did the baseball route with my boys in Vegas and Arizona, did those things. But that's something that you will never forget, Jacob.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is what I live for. And the best part of it is, you know, people get to see me be a parent, get to see me be a fan, you know, sitting courtside. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and those tournaments in Vegas, those AAU tournaments, those are considered big tournaments. Those aren't like ones down in Orange County that you have every weekend. Those are pretty big
tournaments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So.
Absolutely. We're playing a team right now from Roseville. And these guys, I mean, these guys are really, really good team. But, you know, we're in the second half right now. I'm kind of watching through the doors. It looks like, you know, we're playing at a hotel in Lake Las Vegas. So it's like they're playing inside one of their, you know, their rooms. So it looks like, you know, how they set up the bubble courts. So they got, you know, a number of courts going on inside. So it's a lot of fun.
So, Jacob, you said you're losing your voice. Are you one to ride the officials? Are you in the official faces? Like, if are you treating them like it's Scott Foster officiating your kids?
You know, I try not to say anything to the officials because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want it to affect on the kids. But I am one of those guys courtside who, you know, cheering the boys on, you know, making sure that, you know, just because the other side just went on a 7-0 run means nothing. It's a long game. Get your head back into the game. It just takes one shot at a time. So, you know, that's the kind of parent I am.
And how old are the kids?
So my oldest is 13. That's who's playing now. And then who's Sasha. And then my Tyler, who's 11, starts his tournament on Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, those are exciting times. No question about it. When you come on, Jacob, you always share information with our listeners, and they look forward to it. One of them actually called me, knew you'd be on today, and wanted to know a slip and fall accident. If you're just walking down the street or you're walking in somebody's home, and you happen to slip and fall, what should you do?
So two different things. I mean, if you happen to slip and fall in someone's home, then, you know, that person, you know, should have insurance. And if there is some level of a, you know, dangerous condition, obviously, you want to take a picture of what you ended up slipping and falling on, and you go after the homeowner's private insurance. If you're walking down the street, then you must be on a city sidewalk, and those require a lot more notice. So, you know, we have a lot of sidewalks, as we all know, that's completely messed up. There's cracks all over the place. Everything's all over. So in those situations, obviously, the city rubber stamps a denial and always denies the claim. And then it's on us to go and show them that they should have upkept this area. City cases are really tough. Private cases are a lot easier because, you know, the private homeowner or the private building owner or the hotel owner should be, you know, should be on top of this because they're allowing people to walk through it all the time, whereas the city always cries they don't have enough resources.
Yeah, and I was going to ask too, Jacob, how awkward is it if it is a friend to convey to them that this is just business protocol, this is what we're supposed to do, especially because a friend can take it two different ways. They can say, I understand you got to do this just in case something happens to you or you feel a certain way down the road. And then there are certain friends like, hey, we're friends. Don't worry about it, man. Don't put us all through all of these claims and insurance and legal issues. Let's just deal with it ourselves.
Yeah, you know, I think you hit it right on the head. You know, I've seen both sides of it. I've seen the side where someone gets injured and the friend immediately says, hey, I have insurance. Please use it. Take care of yourself. And then I've seen, you know, relationships, you know, go on rocks because they're upset about how dare you do that. I think ultimately at the end of the day, we buy insurance for these reasons. We all pay a lot of money so that if you are negligently, you know, injuring somebody else, the insurance is supposed to pay. Remember, the insurance company is not your friend. It's not my friend. They're only their own pocket's friend. So people shouldn't take it seriously when somebody files a claim against their insurance. That's what you pay money for so you can protect yourself.
One other question I got, Jacob, riding a bike. And you're out on the street. I've said it many times. You know, that's right at your own risk. I would not want to be on a bike when everybody else is in tanks. But cyclists get clipped. They get hit. And oftentimes, they zoom out into traffic. I mean, it's really a no-win situation. What do you do if you're hit as a cyclist?
Right. So, you know, that's why a lot of cities are now putting the bike lanes. And because, you know, a lot more people are riding bikes, especially with the pandemic, you do see a lot of bicyclists. Most important part of it is, you know, unfortunately, when a bicyclist get hit by a car, it's you against a 3,000-pound machine. Most of the time, you're going to lose. So it's very difficult for you to, you know, have your wits end. But we always tell people when you do get hit, see if there were any witnesses around, because obviously everyone tries to blame you. So witnesses always help to tell the truth on either side of the coin and basically take pictures of where you end up. You know, if you get hit in the bike lane, then, you know, a lot of people sometimes are making a right-hand turn and they're looking to the left because the traffic's coming from the left. They're not looking to the right. So you usually clip you on the right. So it's always about, you know, evidence, and there's nothing better than evidence exactly when it happens, because it always takes people who want to not tell the truth, you know, kind of catches them off guard.
All right, Jacob, before we let you go, we're in the NBA Finals, and I know, you know, none of the local teams are obviously in it, but Chris Paul and Giannis in these finals, I mean, the importance for each one of them to win it, who's it more important to? I know Giannis is younger than Chris Paul, but Giannis, you know, people were writing him off because he had won the MVP but couldn't get his team to the finals and win a championship. How important it is for him, or who is it more important to, Chris Paul for his legacy or Giannis for him going forward?
Right. I think for both of them it's important. But I think when you really think about it, we've been giving Giannis the MVP, you know, a couple of years in a row. And, you know, as an MVP candidate and somebody who's won it multiple times, you got to bring that, you know, you got to bring that trophy home. So I think it's really, really important for him. I think Chris Paul, you know, it's more of, there's a lot of great players that never won a championship. And for him, he doesn't want to be in the same ranks as a, you know, Charles Barkley or some of these other guys who were great players, just never won it. You know, I personally, you know, I've been excited watching it. And, you know, I'm personally pulling for the Bucks. You know, I think they need to bring it home. And, you know, I'll be watching eagerly tonight.
All right. Well, Jacob, go back in. What's the score now?
I don't know. I'm outside. If I was inside, you couldn't even hear me. So I came outside.
All right. Go back in there. Good luck.
Press, hey guys.
Press after a made basket. Make sure you press.
Yes. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm about to jump in myself.
All right. See you, Jacob.
Bye, guys.
There goes our buddy Jacob Imrani. Rodney, we were talking about Scott Foster.
Yeah.
Working the game tonight between Milwaukee and Phoenix, and Chris Paul's record against Scott Foster in Game 7s, which is 0-12. So I looked up the rest of the officiating crew. Because yeah, this could be the final game of the NBA season. You know, these guys work in the NBA on merit. They're graded every game, every season. The guys that grade out the highest get to work the playoffs. But we always kind of see the same guys kicking around in the finals. So Scott Foster is the crew chief. 27 years as an official. the referee, and this is what they're called, but the crew chief's in charge. Then it's referee, and the referee is Eric Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
This is his 17th season in the league.
Okay.
Now, the umpire is normally the guy that's the youngest guy, right? He's been doing it a couple of years. He's still learning the mechanics, and his goal is to move up. In this game, the umpire is Tony Brothers, who's got 27 years.
Love Tony Brothers.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a serious veteran crew working this game.
But here's
game
the thing.
Tonight.
Why is it different? Why? I mean, they didn't do the whole series, correct?
No, they rotate every game.
Yeah, but why? I would just think that they would have the same crew do the entire series.
Oh, no.
Why not?
You wouldn't want...
Why not?
You would not want the same NFL officiating crew working every one of your games.
What? Well, it's not different in the NFL because it's one game. But if we're doing a series, yeah, I want the crew. I want the same crew doing the whole series.
You want it similar to baseball where they just rotate positions throughout the entire series.
Exactly. I want the same crew, so you know the familiarity, how you're playing, kind of, you know, so there's no new officiating crew that has to get kind of used to the workings of the game and the flow of the game. I want that same crew to kind of understand it, do their homework, understand what's going on. So the next night, you know what you're going to get.
I think in the NBA, that would be a recipe for disaster.
Oh, probably think there's player influence and you're constantly needling at this official for six games at a time.
They do that in baseball, too. They do, you know, home plate, third base. You know, if you umped last night and now you're at first base, you know, first baseman is in your ear. Like, that was a terrible game you called last night. What the hell are you doing last night?
You mean like Earl Weaver? Remember the classic Earl Weaver moment?
How can we forget?
Yeah, Earl Weaver managing the Orioles, and one of the Hallers was at first base, and Earl Weaver goes out. Haller calls a balk. Weaver runs out of the field and starts berating him. And he says, "You're here, and this crew is here just to F us." And Haller throws him out of the game.
Yeah, Howard's like, "Oh, you're full of bleep, Earl.
But then he goes, "And you'll get your chance tomorrow night." Because the first base umpire then rotates to the plate.
Yeah.
So they rotate around. But the difference in baseball, Rodney, is you could be out in left field. Or I don't know how much influence you're going to have over the game.
Yeah, you could have a big influence. But that ball is fair or foul.
Yeah, I understand. But, I mean,
come on.
In the NBA, with personalities and emotions. I mean, they always have veteran officials do the playoffs. They have whoever they consider to be their very best work the playoffs. Scott Foster is considered to be, like him or not, their best. Mark Davis is then second on the list of their best. Tony Brothers, who's got the umpire job tonight, which is the job that you put the guy with 2 years of experience on, 27 years in the league.
Yeah, but you can really evaluate the refs in a seven-game series of how consistent they were. If they're doing it back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and you can say, okay, yeah, Scott Foster, yeah, you called this whole series this way. And to maybe his defense, say, yes, this is how I've been calling these games all series. Game two, game three, game four, I called it the same way I'm calling this in game seven. So you really don't have any argument with me. Or you do.
Or you will.
Yeah.
I think that's more accurate.
Right.
You will.
Right.
Kevin just found the great Earl Weaver exchange.
Oh,
I must have pulled this at a certain point because I had to listen to the entire thing and bleep out all the choice words.
Oh, yeah.
So I found a little snippet of it. Maybe we ran it at some point in the past. So here's the back and forth we were talking about.
Earl, you
get
run yourself.
Your finger off
you
of
hit me.
Yeah, because you
good.
Put
I'm
your
glad
finger
you
on me.
I'm glad you hit me.
That's right.
That
you're here for one specific
what's
reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jeff us.
You're foolish.
You. Years and years. And don't you ever put your finger on me again.
You hit me, Earl.
You put your finger on me.
That's okay.
You
ain't going to knock nobody on their ass.
You do it again and I'll knock you right in your nose.
I didn't touch you.
You pushed your finger.
I did not.
Yeah, that was just a part of that exchange with Earl Weaver so many years ago. That's why they don't have the NBA officials work every game, Rodney.